This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is the four-day work week viable? The biggest global study looking into exactly that starts today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, to Bangladesh. There's been an explosion at a depot containing hundreds of millions of dollars of garments ready for export to Western retailers. Police are trying to identify at least 49 people killed by a fire at the depot, which burned for more than a day and was finally extinguished a few hours ago. The country is a major Western clothing supplier, which has led it to become the world's second biggest garment exporter. But safety regulations are often ignored or poorly enforced, and there have been several large fires and other incidents at factories in recent years. The BBC's Akbar Hussain has the latest from Chittagong, a nearby port city on the southeastern coast of Bangladesh.
I have spoken to some local people. They say that they could see huge flames climbing up to 5,000, 6,000 feet. This is a container depot, and it is being used as a transit hub to the Western markets. And some of the containers may have containing hydrogen peroxide, which is very high flammable material. And firefighters say that that might be the reason why fire was so huge and explosion was so huge, because they were trying to put off the fire with the water. Experts say that when there is the presence of any hydrogen peroxide, water shouldn't be used there, and it only aggravates the situation. That has happened here. And the government has formed several investigation committees to find out the reason behind the fire.
That's the BBC's Akbar Hussain reporting from Chittagong there. Here in the UK, there's news this morning that Prime Minister Boris Johnson will face a vote of no confidence this evening.
I notified the Prime Minister yesterday that the threshold had been reached, and we agreed the timetable for a confidence vote to take place. And he shared my view, which is also in line with the rules that we have in place, that that vote should happen as soon as could reasonably take place. And that would be today.
That's Sir Graham Brady, a fellow Conservative member of Parliament, who's been tasked with collecting letters calling for a no-confidence vote. The Prime Minister has been under pressure for months over outrage for parties held during lockdowns and worries over the rising cost of living here. Inflation reached 9%. As we check the numbers now, though, the news is not having much sway over the benchmark FTSE 100 this morning. Opening after a four-day weekend for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, the index is up 1.3%. It's being led by mining and oil majors, which look to benefit from relaxed COVID restrictions across China. That is also lifting stocks across the region. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up just shy of 1%. Meanwhile, fund manager Elliott Associates has filed a $456 million lawsuit against the London Metal Exchange. It alleges the exchange's decision to cancel trades on March 8th because of a surge in nickel prices was, quote, unlawful. Hong Kong Exchange and Clearing, which owns the LME, said the claim is without merit and that it will vigorously contest it. To Singapore now, where Chinese tech giant Ant Group has launched a new digital wholesale bank called Annexed. It comes about 2 years after the company's decision to list on public markets was quashed by Chinese regulators. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains then what today's launch means for Ant and its billionaire founder, Jack Ma.
Annexed is a subsidiary of China's Ant Group, which is a fintech giant controlled by the billionaire Jack Ma. You might know him because of the e-commerce company Alibaba. Ant is roughly 33% owned by Alibaba. But the reason that this is so interesting is it marks one of Ant Group's biggest overseas pushes since its $37 billion IPO was derailed by Chinese regulators in late 2020. Now, in a statement, Annex said it will develop an open framework for financial institutions in collaboration with two Singapore government organizations, that it will focus on micro, small and medium-sized enterprises, particularly those with cross-border operations, and those services will be available from the third quarter of this year.
And it's those issues with the Chinese government in its listing that it had to back off of in 2020 that's so interesting here. Is that part of the reason why Ant Group picked Singapore for this launch?
The sense that experts get is that the company wants to use Singapore as a base for its business in Southeast Asia because there are so many problems at home. The IPO was one thing, but the Chinese government has also been cracking down on tech companies like Ant Group. The chief executive officer of Annex Bank did say in a news briefing that this new bank will provide a suite of financial services that it's already offering in Southeast Asia. And she did say that the company wants to use Singapore as a launchpad. Of course, Ant's got many payment apps around the world, including Alipay, which has about 1 billion annual active users. That was as of August 2020. But on the Singaporean side as well, there's a real push to develop digital banking because Hong Kong is doing the same thing as well. And there are a number of other companies here that have got those licenses as well. So we can expect them to launch digital banks this year as well.
The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
What's thought to be the world's biggest trial of a four-day work week starts today here in the UK. More than 3,000 people from about 70 companies will take part in an experiment where they'll work for fewer hours with no loss of pay. Researchers say changing the system could lead to happier, more productive staff, as the BBC's Emma Simpson reports.
Dozens of different companies are taking part in this experiment, from office-based software developers and recruitment firms to charities and a small brewery. The challenge, can their workers be more productive? They'll be getting 100% of their current pay for 80% of the hours. Researchers from universities in the UK and US will measure their efficiency and well-being and the impact on the environment and gender equality. The pilot is part of a worldwide project and is running alongside smaller trials in other countries.
That's the BBC's Emma Simpson reporting there. If you have thoughts on a four-day work week where you get paid for five, tweet me at Victoria Craig, or you can email us marketplace@bbc.co.uk. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.